Heavenly Father, we have preached your gospel for the past several nights, and we've asked for your power and your grace to rest upon us. We thank you for those who have found the way unto you. But Lord, we're here on this closing night of this meeting, not the closing night of revival, because you're the one who continually revives men. Closing night of this series of services. And we're asking that you will do something extraordinary, something miraculous, and something stupendous. We're praying that grace and mercy will rest upon the people, that the power of the Holy Ghost will be upon them, and that you will touch your minister one more time with the touch that makes preaching effective. Father, I admit to this congregation, and I confess before you, that except you build the house, they labor in vain who build it. I confess before you that it's the Spirit that quickeneth, and it's the Spirit that giveth life. Oh, the futility of the flesh. Oh, the frailty of humanity. Oh, the limited mind of man. But oh, the infinity of you and the almightiness of you. Work upon me according to the effectual working of your power, according to the mighty working which you work in us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, and we'll give you praise and glory for it. And amen. I marveled at the trend of the singing tonight in the choir. Most every song was about the rapture, about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. My subject tonight is a question to you. Are you ready for the rapture? Some people don't understand what we mean by the word rapture. The word rapture itself is not mentioned in the Bible, but comes from a Latin word rapio, which means to snatch away suddenly or to catch away. And the Bible uses that terminology quite a few times, like when the Apostle Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:1, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and our gathering together unto him." And Jesus used that terminology in John 14:3. He said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Then the Apostle Paul again said, "The Lord himself shall come from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God," and said, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Said, "We shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air," caught out of the world, snatched up suddenly, caught away suddenly to meet the Lord in the air. Those of you who are Bible scholars know that the Lord is going to come for the church first, and then he's going to come back with the church after 7 years, after he's had a marriage supper of the Lamb with his people. There's an angel going to stand in the heavens and going to say, "Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice and be glad and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready." Hallelujah. That's just before he is going to come in all of his splendor and glory, and going to come with the brightness of his coming, destroy the Antichrist with the sword of his mouth. Hallelujah. And to set up his kingdom upon this world. And the Bible said the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, and he shall reign forever and ever. Oh, hallelujah. But I'm asking you tonight, are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for that event which could take place at any time? Now, there are many signs to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, some that will happen after the rapture takes place, some that will happen after the saints of God are gone. Have I still got power here? I don't want to lose my power on the last night, brother. Praise God. You know, you've got to have the Holy Ghost power, and then you've got to have some amplifying power. Amen. Now, don't give me too much. Amen. Amen. Is it all right now? But what I am saying to you is that the readiness for the rapture, the readiness of God's people, is essential in this time. Notice in Luke, the 12th chapter, the 35th and the 36th verses, said, "Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves as men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately." That struck my heart today as I thought about it. I thought that men and women everywhere need to realize their need for readiness for the soon return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says here. "Let your loins be girded about." Back in those days, they wore long flowing robes. The long flowing robes sometimes impeded them in their work, or in their walk, or in their running. And they would take that long flowing robe and they would tie it around their bodies. In other words, they would gird themselves with it so that it wouldn't impede them in service. What the Lord is saying here, let your loins be girt. Let them be girded about so that you'll not be impeded in the service, and you'll not be impeded in your flight when he calls you home. This is the reason he said to the children of Israel when they ate the Passover. He said, "Eat the Passover with your shoes on your feet, with your staff in your hand, and eat it in haste." Hallelujah. Because it's time for your flight. Hallelujah to God. And that's what I'm saying to you. It's just about time for our flight. It's just about time for him to reach down his big hand and pull us out of the world of wickedness and take us away. And we need to be girded about. The next thing he says, let your lamps or your lights be burning. You know, you must be on fire of the Lord is literally what he's saying. I read in the Bible of John, in John 5 and 35, when he said that he was a burning and a shining light. He was a burning and a shining light. And how many people have let their lights burn low? Also read in the parable of readiness in Matthew 25 and 8, where they said, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Literally, it reads in the Moffat translation, "Give us of your oil, for our flame is dying." I see all around the country today dying flames that were once bright embers. I see people who life one time burned brightly like a bonfire. They were literally a flame for God. They were like burning faggots in a spiritual and a moral black midnight. But now they're flickering flames of a once bright fire. They're about to go out. They're smoldering flames. But he said, let your lights be burning. Be on fire for God. I say to you tonight, if you are in a condition that you're losing your fire and it's going out, you need to cry out like the virgins did. Give us of your oil, for our flame is dying. The third thing he said, you yourselves will be like men that look for their Lord when he will return from a wedding. In other words, said have a fixed gaze. Look up, look into the skies. Keep watching. Keep looking for him to return. Said, put your eyes on the skies, for from the skies will come your prize. And the prize is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, hallelujah. He calls upon you to be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Notice what he said in Matthew 25 and 10 again. And he said, and they that tarried went in with him to the marriage. He said, they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And those that tarried, those that awaited, came later. When they came later, they knocked and said, Lord, Lord, open unto us. Open unto us. They had waited. They had tarried. And those that were ready were the ones who went into the marriage. I'm calling for those to be ready, lest the night be the night when the Lord should call you home and call for his own. You say, but Brother Hughes, why should I be ready for the rapture tonight?
One, you should be ready for the rapture because of the brevity of time. Time is literally running out. A lot of people don't realize it, and they're not aware of it. You see, one of the tricks of the devil is to make you believe that you've got plenty of time. Like they said in the days of Ezekiel, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth. As they said in the days of Amos when judgment was coming. In Amos 6:3, you put far away the evil day and you caused the seat of violence to come near. And as the Bible says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, it is fully set in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil. You see, the long suffering of God will not always exist. It will not always be extended to you. But the Bible said, after thy hardness and impenitence of your heart, treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. See, this is the day of grace. This is the day of mercy. I thought today as I lay before the Lord, rivers of mercy are running in the land. Falls of his loving kindness run down upon the people. Breezes of his goodness flow throughout the land with all of their balminess. He bows with lips filled with the wine of love to kiss away the sins of humankind. But it'll not always be like that, my friend. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. You say, well, why doesn't he express his anger? Because today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. This is his time of grace for humanity. But it will not always be this way. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, these words, that he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. But he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, a lot of people say that it says he's not slack concerning his promises. Now, he isn't. That's true, but that's not what the scripture says. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What was the promise? He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He is not slack concerning his promise. The prophets of old made the promise. Jesus Christ made the promise. The angels in glory made the promise. And the promise is true. If the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The Lord is not slack concerning that promise. Just because some people feel that he's tarrying, because some people feel that he's waiting, he said he's only long-suffering to us because he's not willing that any should perish. Did you hear what he said, sinner? Hear me, sinner. He's not willing that you should perish. If you perish, you will perish of your own will. I told a man who had been here all week to this meeting, this morning before he left, I witnessed to him. This afternoon when I prayed, and he was riding down the highway somewhere, I said, oh God, stop that man in his tracks. Don't let him think he's escaped me just because he's left this camp meeting. Don't let him think that he's gotten away from me and my message just because he's gone. Stop him. Wake him up tonight. Stop him on the highway. Do something to make him conscious of his need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Mosso Cristo Bocoe. Ottimilica.